Okay, high time now for our tune of the week.
One, let's go.
This is the Media Industry Guru Show, the show that exposes you to entertainment, music, film, TV, and tech.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, boys, go to Jupiter. Welcome to the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Very excited to have all of you on. Looking forward to hearing more about your endeavors in the Big Apple.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I guess the Big Apple is kind of similar to Jupiter, we'll say.
Jupiter's the Big Apple.
More or less. True. That's always been said.
So to get started, tell us a little bit about each of you, like how you guys form this collective band. I know it's a unique, interesting story, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How did you know that? Did you hear that other podcast? Is that how you found it?
It's pretty common knowledge at this point.
Pretty common knowledge at this point. Lore.
So take it away, Jess.
All right, I'll take it away. And Caleb, feel free, you know, add in your 2 cents. So it all began. I'm a born and bred New York person. And Luke and Caleb are both transplants of the last few years. Luke and I matched on a dating app called Hinge. We're still waiting for Hinge to finance us.
Sponsor us. Yeah.
Sponsor us, do something.
Honestly. Yeah, maybe Hinge should have an artist platform now.
If we can get anyone is listening to this that has a contact into Hinge. Luke and I matched on Hinge. The exact details of that were that I said he commented, one of his captions was, I'll recite this from memory, not that I've memorized it, was to people who can get places without Apple Maps or Google Maps. And I said, can you do it? And he said, well, I'm new to the city, so no. And then that began the love story. We went on a few dates, 2 to be exact. There was some hanky panky. I won't go into the details. upon going on a 3rd date, Luke, I'm calling it broke up with me. He didn't really break up with me. We weren't dating, but he basically asked.
We had met twice before.
We had met twice before. Easier to just call it a broke up. Luke was like, hey, let's hang out again. I was like, sure, great, let's do it. And then he followed it up very quickly. I don't know what you want.
I was just trying to be communicative. Yeah. What could I say?
I was upset with him, but we hung out anyway, and he convinced me to at least come over, hang out with him, and make some music. I came over. Caleb was there, who was Luke's roommate at the time.
Lived together.
Yeah.
We're like, he's right across the hall in a different room.
Yeah. You could literally show him right now if you wanted to.
True.
But you won't.
I won't.
Such a hassle.
I don't hear the echoing yet, though. But
No. The headphones.
To my credit, part of the reason that I did that was I was like, hey, you seem really cool. On our 2nd date, we shared music with each other, and we kind of shared what we were working on, and we were like, oh, like, you seem like a person that I want to work with. So I was like, we should make music together for sure. I don't know if we can do both things, but I really want to make music with you. And I had just moved in with Caleb, and I remember the moment I met Jess, I was like, Jess and Caleb will really hit it off. So luckily everything worked out, and we became a band.
How do you think this set, like, because I think it set some pretty great musical groundwork for what was to come. Like, a lot of the, it got emotional pretty fast between the two of them. And I was, I always say this at this part, because I need some credit. I was holding them together.
Yes.
And I think they probably would have done something had I not been there. But man, it would have been messier.
I think so too. I think Caleb was really good glue. I think Luke and I were going to figure it out. Because at that point, like, we were like sort of in for whatever was going to happen. But Caleb's arrival on the scene definitely created just like a bit
of
to like everything. And it didn't hurt that he was also like super talented and like.
So I'm the most important member of the band, which everyone knows.
Most important for personal and professional.
Exactly. You're yeah, the not manager. Really musically. Yeah. Not physically, but just interpersonally, I'm incredibly important.
Yeah. Now we're all in love and we sleep in the same bed every night, so it's all good.
Yeah. Happy ending. But yeah, so then we formed a band and then we started playing. We've been playing for like a year and a half, maybe, around New York, around Brooklyn yeah. and then Manhattan too, and putting out music, and it's going pretty well. People are liking it, so we're excited.
It's funny. We're actually playing a show tonight at the first venue that we ever played.
It's a little full circle moment.
And what venue is that?
The Sultan Room in Brooklyn.
We love the Sultan Room. Fun stuff. So
good. We've been there a bunch of times at this point.
Yeah, the sound is so good there. Shout out to Jules at the Sultan Room.
Shout out to Jules at the Sultan Room. Shout out to the Turks Inn next door. Always get a good fry box before the show.
That sounds good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And tell us your different kind of quote unquote functions within the band and how you kind of all mesh together on a professional level. We heard the personal level, but let's get
kind of
your songs.
Because
No one ever asked us that.
But I think it's really, I think it's actually kind of our secret to success in some ways. Like success that we've had. And I'll let everyone, I can talk a lot. So
Jess is the spokesperson.
This is why we work. Luke is the computer man. Luke produces pretty much all of the music we've made so far. And Luke's ADD is really focused in a computer setting and in a production in that part of the world. Deals when we have to deal with like mixers or whatever. He's usually like the point of contact. Caleb is very much like, I feel like you're like the romance of the band. Caleb is like the interpersonal connections. Caleb is like good at like making people feel like, you know, he's the therapist. Like, and his songs are very loving and they're very heartfelt and they make you feel like you're like running through the rain and you're in nostalgia. And I am like the mogul. I'm kind of like pantsuit businesswoman with kind of like an intensity about me. And I think the three of us together all share like sort of this like kindred kid like spirit that like all of these things come out through. And that's what I would say. But Caleb.
Totally.
Okay. Totally. I think we definitely balance each other out. Like, there's a lot to be done in a band that's starting like this. And what's cool, I think, about us three is that none of us are like completely disinterested in what the other people do. So we all come together and we like do stuff together. Like we are on most of the call, you know, we're all together on the calls that when it's business related, a lot of the time we're in the room producing with Luke. And when, you know, we write together, the band is big when we play live, but us three write all the songs. Sometimes they're songs that like one of us will bring that's fully finished and we'll just sort of teach it to the others and maybe give suggestions. Sometimes it's like two of us have written something and bring it to the third. Sometimes we sit down and do something from scratch. Sometimes someone will bring lyrics or an idea, you know, that kind of thing. but I think we all have kind of distinct musical styles and distinct like ways of thinking about a band, which is helpful. I think Jess is the like provides some motor, like some risk taking that I think Luke and I might not do or more averse to. And then to balance that out, Luke and I pump the brakes sometimes. Sometimes Luke and I like will kind of take the risk Jess wants to do and figure out how it can actually be done and make it real. I feel like a lot of times that's what I'm doing. I'm like, because you come up with a great idea and then I'm like, okay, or both of you do. And then I'm like, okay, how is this actually going to happen? Let's make a schedule. How can we actually achieve this? Mm-hmm. But it works. It's nice. It's good. And I think we all feel good about it.
Loved. Yeah. And to answer in a more literal sense, also,
Concise way.
just to, Jess sings, I play guitar, Caleb plays keys. But like he said, we all do a little bit of everything and we all write parts, and write the songs and write the lyrics and the music and are kind of involved with everything. But yeah, I don't, they said everything
Strongest
else.
thing about us, we're I like not to toot, sorry, not to toot our own horns, but I think we're really strong songwriters. Like, I think that's why the band works. Like, between the three of us, like, there's really like strong songwriting capability.
The songwriting is strong, but also like I think there are other bands like this too, but we have like an interest in it. Like it's one of our top priorities. Like I think of myself as a songwriter before a performer. And I think there's a time and a place for that, but like that comes through at the end of the shows. Like people really connect with the songs because we all just love that more than we love, like, man, this groove is awesome. Like we like that too. But I think what we appreciate more is like, wow, the story or the imagery. And I think there's a bit of a market for that and a desire for songs that have some substance to them. So that's kind of what we're going for.
A few of your works that you've developed over the course of this past year and a half, one of them being Overconfident, the next being Last Time, and then one of your biggest hits, most recently, Wall Street. So tell us a little bit more about that, because I know, like, for hits, especially, it takes a long time to develop, rewrite, start from scratch, build it from the ground up. So tell us a little bit about that process.
There's definitely a story there. Well, let's see. I think Overconfident and Last Time were a little more straightforward than
No,
Wall
Last
Street.
Last Time is interesting. Luke.
Last Time is interesting.
Last
Luke
up.
and I, yeah, you can tell him about Al Mack and why he wrote that
Oh
song.
yeah, this is funny. When I first moved to New York, I was trying to figure out my life, and I started talking to this producer who I had been connected to, and he like wanted me to send him some songs.
He
That
wanted
were
like
like
pop songs.
pop songs, which I didn't really like. I'd written my own music, which is kind of more like rocky and indie and that sort of thing. And he was like, send me some like radio pop songs. And so, in an effort to do that, I was like, Caleb, do you want to write some songs with me? And Last Time was one of the songs. I think we actually wrote it before.
The band.
It was either before, no, actually, it was definitely before the band. It was after I'd met Jess.
Well, I remember
But we recorded it. Yeah, we recorded a demo of it and it sounded terrible. And this was like my olive branch to
Hey.
Jess. Yeah, Caleb sang on
I definitely disagree on
it.
that.
I did the first pass. Like we wrote it. So we wrote it and it was just gonna go into like we our goal was like let's make like 20 pop songs that we can just keep in a little folder and send them out. So we were just like every couple days going and writing. And we liked this one a lot. It was like stuck in my head. But so we made a demo of it and we were just gonna throw it on the pile. But I was singing on this demo and man, I mean you've heard this song. It's high. It's kind of hard to sing. So there's a version of the demo where I'm singing and it is not great.
I remember being the first time I was at your house, Luke talking about this situation with this producer and being like, I have to write pop songs. And I remember going, you know what's really in right now? Like 80s pop songs. Like
Totally. Like Stranger Things,
I
80s vibe.
remember there was one song by The Weeknd that was really
That's what
famous.
I was going to say. It sounds totally like The Weeknd, Blinding Lights.
I was like, I remember saying this because remember we were trying to write that other song that I brought to you? Like, this is the first time hanging out. I was like, you guys should write an 80s song. And then I remember a few weeks later, you being like, Jess, this is so random. Will you come record vocals for this random song that I'm writing for this producer? And I was like, yes. And this was the first time we were ever like working on anything really in a production way, creatively together. We never even really planned on releasing it because they rejected the song. Like they didn't want it.
But we were just like, this is just like in the pile. Like it wasn't for the band, you know? But it was actually funny that you said The Weeknd. The comp we used when we were writing it was that Kid Laroi song.
I remember, yeah.
What song was it?
Hey?
The
Stay.
Stay, the Justin Bieber one.
Oh, okay.
I forget
We
how
were kind of
that
going because
goes.
that kind of set the tempo. And that was kind of the idea we were going for. And then obviously it just took a different direction. I love like period songs. Like another song I have for the band is like a 50s style, like, you know, love song. And so when it kind of coalesced, it was going to be an 80s thing. Like that's right up my alley. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yeah. That was last time. That was kind of unusual. Our most typical song, I guess, writing wise would be Overconfident, which was a song I had started writing like 5 years ago and had never finished. And for our first show, I was like, here's a song that we could play. Let's finish it. And then we all finished it together.
Wow.
But then Wall Street was a totally different
thing because
Wall Street, I've written so many songs in my life and I've never written a song like this in this manner.
Yeah. Well, so
because of how it happened.
Yeah.
Wall Street's iconic because I wrote Wall Street, the entire vocal melody and lyrics, like a week after meeting Luke, about Luke. Hmm. I was like basically infatuated with him. Like I thought he was like the coolest person ever. And you know, I'd been on a lot of Hinge dates and I'd never like really connected with someone like in any way. And so it was definitely like a big feeling like to like meet someone that I really got along with kind of immediately, that I was like, this person's gonna be around. And I was on my way to visit my brother in Boston. And I was just like, and I often write songs like in transit. And basically the whole song came out while I was like waiting. And I wrote the melody and I sang it for my brother, like a cappella. And then my brother's roommate does music as well. And he actually helped me like lay down some like very preliminary, very early like music instrumentation to it. And that gave me like some sense of an idea, but it wasn't like exactly what I felt like the song was. But the boys, were we a band? No.
So wait, I have something that I think doesn't match with your timeline, but I have a distinct memory that I know is true. And it's the first time I met you. It was the first day you came in. I was in my room.
That was a different song. That was a different song.
Different song.
No, I don't think it was a different song.
I know what song it was.
What song was it?
I know it's a different song because chords. I know it was a different song because it had a lyric that I was like, is this about me?
No, it was.
What song was that?
I got it. You're giving me space. You're giving me.
Yeah, okay, similar to Wall Street. Similar to Wall Street. It was like a soulful song. I remember the first time meeting you, not even looking at you yet. Like literally, I hadn't even looked at your face yet. I was at the piano, and you were behind me, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm just accompanying this person and making up chords to her melody."
Yeah.
So I did a
song to the boys months later. Actually, I didn't show them the song. We wrote other songs.
It
was on our first show. It was
our first show.
Yeah.
We booked our first show for the purpose of finishing a bunch of songs. So we didn't have like rehearsals before. We weren't a band before. We booked a show and we were like, we are going to play 8 songs at this show. We need to write 8 songs.
Yeah.
So we wrote that song. We finished the song. They created the whole basically like arrangement for it with me. And then we played it for about a year. The boys got tired of it. And I think they also were like, and I completely understand why retrospectively, but like it's a very specific kind of song. It kind of puts us in a certain category of like big band. And I don't think we were prepared and wanting to be kind of categorized a certain way. Because that's not totally who we are. Like we have elements of that, but we're not a full like jam band vibe. And we felt like it would just kind of categorize us. And then we put a clip out on social media, and it pretty much did like the best numbers of anything.
Yeah.
And immediately recorded it. And
yeah, it's funny. We were planning on doing an album, and Wall Street wasn't going to be on the album. And we were never going to record it. We were just going to leave it in the dust. And then Jess posted that video. I texted me and Caleb being like, look at this video. And then me and Caleb, I was like on vacation, and Caleb and I called, and we were like, fuck, we have to record this. I don't know if I can curse him.
Well, because also,
I was like, we have to record Wall Street now.
Jess was out of town. Like, we had done all of the production for the album. It was all done. Like, we were finished, and she was gone. She was going to do a musical in Wisconsin. And so we were like, how are we supposed to record this? And we were just like, okay, we were going to go out and see the show anyway. So we're like, if we can get a track done, we can mm-hmm. record vocals when we go out to visit her. And it was this whole scramble. It was very exciting. It was this whole scrambling
very
thing.
Cool, yeah.
But like something mm-hmm. that was interesting. I mean, I will never forget this. Like Luke and I made, you asked about like multiple versions of things, like to get a sort of a hit song. Like we made like 5 versions of Wall Street over the course of like a week and a half.
Gosh, wow.
Because we were like, and it was sort of speaking to what Jess was saying about not wanting to be that kind of jam band. How do we make it a little rockier? How do we make it coherent? And so we went back and forth, and I think I'm happy that we landed on a good middle ground. Mm, and yeah. then we were like, all right, let's go. So we got in a plane and we recorded it in her hotel room.
We stole a bunch of mics from the theater I was working at because we couldn't find the right sound from the mic. Like the boys brought a few mics and we didn't like it. And me and Luke like snuck into the theater and stole a bunch of prop mics that we didn't know would work or not and brought them back and tried them all out and ended up using one of them.
Wow, that's really interesting because I was going to say Wall Street has this sort of Broadway musical vibe, especially with the new promo that you guys did on Instagram. It definitely has that like Broadway element. Coincidentally, you guys took mics from a theater, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
definitely. Theater definitely. Is... Musical theater is permeating our songs no matter what we do.
We're going to make theater cool.
We're going to make it cool.
Kind of like our secret underbelly of the band is that like we all love big scores. Like Luke's favorite piece of music is the Wizard of Oz score. Caleb is like a composer, a musical composer, like freak nerd. And I grew up loving musical theater as well, secretly. But I think all of us have felt a little both rejected by that world and also like we don't totally belong to it, and that's why we're in a band instead.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good to try to get that element. I mean, I think going back to what I was saying before, like that's just the good storytelling that I think we all like. Musical theater definitely has that.
And do you guys have any, I know you probably have some other songs in the works, maybe even a more elaborate music video coming up as well. Do you have any personal goals for yourself for this upcoming new year or even professional development with the band?
Great question. You're killing it with these questions.
He doesn't have a podcast, you know?
He does have a podcast. I guess he's good at asking questions.
I've done this 135 times. So hopefully I'm okay.
You're great. Yeah, well, we do. We have lots of songs we're really excited to put out. Our strategy is a little bit in flux right now. But we have lots of songs. And I guess what we could talk about is we want to give each song like the Wall Street treatment. And kind of find like the world of the song, like what would that musical moment be in all these songs, and go out and shoot them and try to sort of, I think there's a lot of world building to be done. The songs are kind of different. They're all kind of cool, and it will work to our favor to like make content that will like lift up these songs, be like, this is its own little movie, you know? So I think one of our goals is that.
We have an album. So what we did this past summer, actually for the past 6 months, is recorded a full album, which is completely done. It's being mixed. And that was our initial plan, was like, we're not an EP band, we're an album band. We're storytellers. We want to tell something from start to finish. And we knew at the time that that was like, sort of like, not industry, like, that wasn't like something an industry person would tell us to do. But at the time when we started recording it, like, you know, we were having really like big shows. Like we've always had like a very like fruitful performance, like life, like people have come out, like we gain fans pretty easily, but you know, we only had like those 2 songs out, and we kind of felt like we were holding more cards so we could do what we wanted and let people come along for the ride. In the last few months since we started that process, we've grown, I think, faster than we even thought we would, online and in person. And that's mm-hmm. kind of the way we are going to release this album. It's still an album, top to bottom, and there's still like a story that runs through it, but the way we're going to release it, I think, is not by like throwing it all out at once. We're going to drop things sequentially over the next 6 months that all leads to an album, and has like a nice payoff with a song that will be released at the end that kind of encapsulates it, makes it feel like it's one thing. And it very much does feel like one thing, like, because that's the way we made it. So I think that's going to be like a really fun adventure for the band.
And give me a good challenge.
Who follow us, like, see this thing that we made as a unit and how it like tells a story. I think it's gonna be really cool.
And if you guys could share one piece of advice for aspiring musicians, band members, either whether they met maybe on a different platform, Bumble, let's say.
I feel like we all, it's interesting, we all were sort of struggling with music before coming together, in varying degrees. And like, I moved back home. I'm from Philly. I moved to Philly after I graduated, and I was like trying to figure out if I wanted to do music, if that was viable, whatever. And I feel like the biggest thing that really helped me was just like making a big change and finding the people that I really liked. And I obviously that's not really like advice, like you can't just go do that. But I think if you find people that you really connect with and really are passionate about working with, and people who, especially people who you think are better than you in certain ways, that's like really the way to grow and really the way to like get a lot out of doing music.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm so intimidated by Luke and Caleb, and also know what I bring to the table. Like, it's so great because like I know what they're better at me at, and I know what I'm better than them at. And so it's, you know, it's really nice because like it constantly keeps you inspired and wanting to work hard, but you also feel really safe in the relationship, because it really does feel like we're doing it together. And similarly to what Luke said, like being in a band for me, and being in a band where it's the right partnership, makes you really want to do it for people, which is a really good way to be motivated. Whereas like when you're doing stuff in a vacuum by yourself, it gets really hard to like continue to go. And every time like I feel like maybe tired or like I don't want to do something, I actually like kind of think about how I want to do it for Luke and Caleb. And I think because I'm a people pleaser, that helps me a lot. And so I just think like finding the right partnership, people you really believe in and you want to also raise up, is really good way to keep.
I think like what I've learned, or I'm trying to learn, and I think is really important, like the biggest takeaway of advice I would give is like, just, everyone says this, but seriously doing the thing that you actually find cool, like at the end of the day, and fulfilling. Like, you need to write the music that you love and that you will sit in your room and listen back to, or walk around and feel the little swelling in your chest when it gets to a certain part, like that, because then you can't really fail. Like, you fed yourself in a really nice way, and you're like being honest to yourself that like, no matter what happens career-wise, like you've really had a great accomplishment because you've listened to yourself and you made something that you find beautiful. But I think where people fall into a trap and maybe end up unhappy is like we've always said, we're not a very cool band, quote unquote. And like, whatever that means, but I like the idea that like, we're not trying to be, and no one should try to be something that you're not. I think it's like, realize what you are and then like, love it. And just be like, I'm going to make stuff that that person would like, because guess what? Obviously you're not that unique. Everyone will, like, other people will like it. There are people out there. So I think that's something, a trap I always fall into of like, is this cool? Will people like this? But if you're writing and you feel it, one other person at least is going to feel it too. So that'd be my advice.
Great advice. Yeah. You guys, I feel like, create this pendulum where you guys all have special traits about one another, and you guys balance out to create that like harmonious effect, which has been very powerful. So congratulations on all that you have achieved thus far in this year, and looking forward to seeing you at more venues this year. Are there any venues that you guys are thinking about, or I guess we could do a rapid fire, what's one venue that you would love to perform at in New York this year? Just first.
We're playing like seven shows over the course of the next like 3 weeks. And the big ones to come to are, we're playing March 13th at Baby's All Right. We're playing March 22nd at the Knitting Factory.
March 14th, the baby's all right.
All right, March 14th. Oh, we got to change that on the link tree. and then we're probably putting out our next song around end of March as well. So you can keep your eyes posted for that. I'll give you a hint. There's a holiday that's coming up that's very reminiscent of the next song. So, you know, think about that. And we have a bunch of shows. So if you want to like check us out, you can just go to our Instagram and go to our like links. They're all there. But a place I want to play is, I want to play the Bowery Ballroom.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's mine too.
Caleb came into the living room yesterday and was like, I think we should play Bowery Ballroom by the end of the year. And I was like,
I think we can play it,
but it's a 600 person cap. Mm-hmm. And I think we can do that by the end of the year. So that's looking to the future. And we'll see you there. You got to come to one.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, we're looking into Jupiter now. Jupiter and the future.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jess, Luke, and Caleb for being on the podcast. Wishing you great success with all that you have achieved thus far, and looking forward to seeing you headline more in New York City.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Media Industry Guru podcast. Check out the Instagram at Media Industry Guru for all the details on the latest and coolest upcoming episodes that you will here. Email at mediaindustrygurupodcast@gmail.com for any other interviews that you would like to hear, or if you would like to be on the air and give a little promo or talk about yourself, or just even chat with me, because you know I'm doing this, I'm invested in this. And tune in weekly, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesdays on the Anchor app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Breaker, and many more streaming platforms. Thanks again for all of the support, and peace out, and let's rock and roll.